This time, the Children's Church, praise God. Amen. Sun beams. If you have your Bibles this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to back up one book into Galatians, read a couple of scriptures there, then we'll go to Psalm 127. Praise God. But let's begin in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Praise God. It says in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." So when God gave the Ten Commandments, this is the one that had a promise attached to it, that if you obeyed this one, this is what would happen. And he said that it might be well with you, and that you might live long on the earth, praise God. So the first commandment with promise, and that is God said, here is the qualification. If you do that, here is the reward for it, praise God. So he said, children, he said that they are to honor their father and mother. Why? That it might be well with them, that they might live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, praise God. So they're not, fathers are not supposed to aggravate their children to no end, make them mad. Amen. It says they're to nourish them. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. That's just one book backwards. The Bible says in verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So there it lets us know that the harvest is not immediate, but if we continue to sow, praise God, there is a harvest. Amen. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, that everything you sow, you will reap. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. And Father, this morning I just ask for that precious, continual, abiding anointing to rest on me as I continue to share your word, Father God, these truths that have been implanted to me over my life, Father God, that we might take the truths of your word today and live them out in our lives, Lord God, that our families and that our homes and that our households will be blessed. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory and the honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Also, we're going to look at Psalm 127, so you can be on your way there, praise God, as I share with you a little bit this morning, praise God. But we have been talking about healthy biblical relationships. We spent the last several weeks looking at healthy marriages, praise God. And I want to go this morning, praise the Lord, and look into healthy biblical relationships between mother and father and children, and also grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, praise God. We might even have some here today have some great-great-grandchildren, praise the Lord. But amen, and it's a blessing, praise God, to do it right. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it." So notice it says train. It's something that you have to work on. It's training. It's a process in the way that they should go. And so there is a proper path, praise God, to set a child on. And he says, if you do that, praise God, if you do not grow weary in well-doing, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, praise God. If you sow to the Spirit, or if you train this child up in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from them. They might stray for a little while, but those truths that you anchor in them, that life that you Take is a pliable child, that pliable life, praise God, that God trusts you with to impart Jesus into their lives and to impart a foundation of God's word, praise God, to mold them all the days of their lives, praise God. He said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. If you sow into their lives in the spirit, praise God, you will reap a harvest out of the spirit, praise God, and that harvest is life and everlasting. In other words, they'll stay serving God, praise God, and eternity will be their home. So proper, healthy, biblical relationships with parents is called influence. Amen. God has put in our lives as parents, as grandparents, whatever it is that you fit in that position, and I don't believe you stop being a parent when your kid turns 18. Amen. As long as you're sucking air, you're still their parent. And you still have the right to impart wisdom into their lives. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I, you know, even though my children are grown and raised, and my grandchildren, and they, you know, they all live out of town, but they can't outrun their grandfather. Amen. I still make sure I keep influence in their lives, praise God, because I believe that's part of my calling as a grandfather, to help bring Jesus into their lives, praise God. And so I make sure I maintain contact with, not try to be their parent, but their grandparent. Grandparents fun, amen. Amen. Grandchildren are God's reward for you not killing your kids. Amen. Praise God. And then so you get to impart certain things to them, but yet at the same time you don't have to carry a lot of the responsibility that you had when you're a parent. Amen. So I call my little granddaughters up and I sing to them on the phone. Amen. Just to keep them lines of communication open, praise God. And my granddaughter actually sings back to me. It's amazing, praise the Lord. It's a blessing from God, praise the Lord. But it keeps that open line of communication, because the Bible says, when I sow in the spirit, praise God, I will reap. Amen. Then there's some parents that have the false notion that they should not push religion or whatever you want to. It's not religion, it's a person. I don't want to push religion on my kids and make them go to church and blah, 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 because they'll resent it. You better, if you're not influencing them, somebody else will. Amen. And they might not like it when they're little, but they'll love it when they get older, praise God. Amen. You know, somewhere along the line, when teenagers are 16, 17, 18, they think they know everything. Amen. Their parents don't know nothing and they know it all. I know, I was there once. We all go through these stages, but somewhere between 16 and about 22, 23, it's amazing how much your parents learn within those few years that go by, and you get past that little stage, and you're now in your 20s raising your own kids. It's amazing how much you realize your parents really, really did know. But when they're that teenage, even in their teenage years, sometimes they don't think that, but they'll come around back to it. There is a cycle in churches, and it doesn't have to be this way, but it is in a lot of people. Kids will come to church until they're 17, 18. Then they'll leave for a little while and won't come back. And then they'll have kids when they're in their early 20s. And they all of a sudden they come back and instill into their children that which was instilled into them, praise God. Amen. So we need to make sure that we do push Jesus on them, but do it in a loving way, praise God. But at the same time, don't push something on your kids that you're not living. That's where the difficulty comes in, is when we try to push Jesus on our kids, but we're still listening to worldly, carnal music, going to worldly places, doing worldly things, talking like the world, acting like the world, amen, doing all those kind of things, and then try to push Jesus on them. That doesn't work too well. So we need to be living it first, praise God. Psalm 127. Praise God. I'm going to share some practical things this morning, praise God, that are good to keep kids in a healthy place and a healthy environment, growing in the Lord and knowing God, praise the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward," praise God. Children are the heritage of the Lord. I looked that word up, heritage, just to find out exactly what it means. God had an idea, but just go back into the Hebrew. It literally means that they are God's inheritance. Children are God's inheritance. The fruit of the womb is His reward. In other words, when God gives you a child, that's His inheritance of keeping the salvation going down from generation to generation, so that when you and I pass off the scene, that inheritance of God is still there with the Word of God in them, praise God, passing it down to the next generation. So how many know that kid that you have is not only yours, it belongs to God, praise God, and God trusts you, and He trusts me to train them up properly and teach them in the way that they should go, praise God, so that when they're old, now they have, you know, we ought to learn from our mistakes and grow in the things of God, praise God, so that as the longer we live for God and the farther the generations of the Christians are in the family that you have, praise God, the stronger we ought to be in the Lord, amen, praise God, in the power of His might. He said in verse 4, He said, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of your youth, praise God. So here then, it lets us know what we are supposed to do. He's talking about a mighty man. He's talking about a father there, but mothers go in here too. He said, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So what is a parent's job to do then? He's supposed to take his child like an arrow, clip him on the string, praise God. It's my job as a parent, as a grandparent, to put that little kid on the string, draw him back, aim it exactly where I want it, and release it with enough skill and power that it is going to hit exactly where I send it and stick right in the bullseye, amen? Not just one of those little wimpy things when you pull back and boink, the arrow falls off the end, or if it's just, you know, no skill, no direction, just flinging those things anywhere. I remember in high school, the worst thing they ever did to us in gym class was give us a bow and arrow. Because the target they gave us was over there, but the ones we wanted were way over there. And we was flinging them in the wrong direction. Till we got in trouble because the neighbor's barn had little arrows sticking through the roof. And they had to take a little bow and arrow away from us. We're supposed to have skill in sending these arrows in the right direction. Amen. That means I need to know what the target is if I'm going to shoot that child in a certain way. Amen. I need to know what the target is. How many know the target's Jesus? How many know the target's heaven? How many know the target's holiness? How many know the target is to find out what God has called in their life and to fulfill it? Amen. I should not allow the world to determine what the target is that I shoot my child towards. The Bible says in Luke 16:15, Jesus said, that which is highly esteemed in the eyes of men is an abomination to Almighty God. And don't get mad at me now. I'm going to tell you some targets we shouldn't aim our children at. We go to the world and get their values and think that's what the direction we ought to send our kids. How many know as believers we ought to have heroes beside the worlds? Amen. Our heroes ought to be the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, praise God, James and John, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, praise God. Those are the people that we ought to exalt and lift up, praise God, in honor in our... You should not exalt the world's heroes and tell your child that's what they ought to be like. Amen. Don't shout me down when I get preaching good. Well, my daughter's going to be a cheerleader for the Ravens. Well, somebody needs to slap you around and point you in the right direction. Amen. That should not be your superstar desire for your child to be. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Amen. The target is not a professional sports player. Oh, my child's going to be a professional baseball player. Well, hoop-de-hoo-de-doo. I hope they know Jesus the whole way. Amen. My child's going to be a professional music player. And all this better be, Jesus better be at the top of the stack of all that. Because you're going to shoot them off into the world like that with no foundation. I guarantee the devil will be out there to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. You still love me this morning? The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. You could shoot them out there and put the things of the world as things that ought to be, you know, lifted up. And the Bible says those things are an abomination in the eyes of God. Amen. Praise God. We need to tell our children they need to seek God first. Amen. And when they get anchored in the things that God has called them to do, if God has called them to be a professional football star or whatever, then so, well, my kid's gonna live for Jesus and be a professional athlete. Well, and what for? Because they're gonna serve Jesus. Are they serving him now? Are they witnessing to all of his teammates now? Well, if they're not now, what makes you think they're gonna do it later? Amen. That might be the parents' desire, but why don't we make the desire into the things of God? Amen. You know, if you put a list of things in line in your life that are important, praise God, one of them's going to church, serving God, fulfilling the call of God and all that, all these other things rise up. This is, you know, while I'm picking on sports, I might as well continue that with that a little bit. I got my priorities. I'm going to raise my children up in the things of God. They're going to be in Sunday school. They're going to be there in the house of God. I believe that God has anointed men and women of God, to, not only for me as a parent to speak into their lives, but there's people in the house of God that God has put there that have studied the Word, that know the Word, that are farther in life than they are, and they can impart wisdom into it. So if something along long line said, you know, well, your son and daughter can play this, my first question is it going to compromise? God is not going to send people your way to caulk your kids not being in church on Sundays and Wednesdays because they're chasing God's dream. That ain't God. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, praise God. But it's true, amen. And if you make the decisions to keep the priorities straight, then all the other decisions fall into place. Let me give you a little piece of bad news. Lukewarm Christian parents make some awful carnal children. Amen. So let's get on fire for God ourselves first, praise the Lord. Amen. He said here in verse 5, if we shoot these children in the right direction, they won't be upset about it. Says right there in verse 5, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, talking about kids. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Amen. In other words, that they will get to the place that when they are older and they will not say, well, I regret my parents keeping me in church and not let me do this and not let me do that and not let me do this. When they get older, they'll look around and be thankful that they were kept right, praise God, and kept in the Word of God and kept in the house of God. And it says they will not be ashamed of it, and they will speak to the enemies in the gates. In other words, when they get out there into the world, praise God, and all the temptation and junk that's out there, they will stand up for Jesus in the middle of it and not be ashamed of it, praise God. Amen. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, praise God. Amen. Did you know these guys, when they were in Babylon in captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar cranked up the fiery furnace and said, you either bow down to that image that I made or you're going to burn. These guys were teenagers. Teenage boys. But they had parents that did this to them, praise God. And when they stood in the face of their enemy, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we ain't going to bow to you. You can throw us in that fire if you want to, but we are not going to bow down. God, give us some teenagers at North Carroll Assembly of God with that kind of attitude, praise God, that'll live for Jesus. Amen. Let me meddle a little bit farther before I go on farther. just get ahead and get it all out there, praise the Lord. I don't think it's too wise and too healthy to send your kids off to a lot of these school dances. Amen. I don't have my head stuck in sand. I know I'm an old guy. I'm 52. But I can remember what it was when I was 13 and 14, 15, going to them school dances. It was super carnal back then. And it's gotten worse now. They do sexually acts in their dances. And you're going to send your kids to that with worldly music and drugs and everything else around and think it's okay when you got teenage kids that their hormones are popping and that's all that's on their mind and you're going to throw them in that? That's like throwing a big piece of raw meat out in front of a lion and saying, don't eat it. He's going to eat it. And you stick your kids in the middle of that mess, I guarantee you sin will take over. Amen. You say, well, brother, that's just the way. I didn't let my kids go. And not a one. I ain't saying that they're perfect, but not a one of them gave me a hard time about it. And I told them why. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's our job, praise God, to, like I said, bring our kids to the house of God, get them to learn the voice of God, praise God, and let that be the moral compass and direction. If you think your kids are missing out on life because they miss a school dance, man, I don't know where your priorities are, but they're messed up. Hey, your kids ain't missing out on nothing but sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. Praise God. So the commandment there is to the children to obey the parents, to honor moms and dads. So that tells me then, in fathers with sons and mothers with daughters, fathers, if you want your son to honor your wife, his mother, then you better honor her. A father that dishonors his wife in front of his son is teaching his son to dishonor his mother. Amen. And if that child dishonors his mother, then it's not going to be well with him. And he won't live long on the earth. Amen. It has to be taught. Mothers, before your daughters, with your husband, you need to have respect and reverence and holiness. Mothers ought to teach their daughters how to be young ladies. Amen. How to live right. Fathers need to teach their sons how to be young men. Amen. And grow up and live right. Parents should not be try to be cool with their teenagers and be their best friend first. They better be their parent first. It's perfect to be their best friend. But when I was raising my teenage kids, I didn't become a teenager. I stayed an adult, amen, but at the same time, I hung out with them, praise God, and I made sure that I kept influence there, praise God, amen. I demanded honor, my father demanded honor out of his children before his family, and I demanded honor out of my children, praise God, in our family, and I'm sure they're going to pass that along, praise God, and so honor has to be demanded, amen. And we know in 2014, spankings are still a good tool to help bring honor to the house. Amen. Someone says, well, that's old-fashioned, brother. I believe there's better ways. Well, you know more than God, do you? God said spankings are a good thing if handled properly, praise God. Amen. How come when I was growing up, back before the days of Ritalin, and all these... man-pronounced diseases on kids that put them on Ritalin. How come spankings made kids listen? Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The Bible said the father that loves his children will chasten him often. I always say about right after that, my dad loved me. Amen. Praise God. I got my share of spankings, and they weren't fun, but I earned every one of them, praise God, and it did me good to have each and every one of them. Amen. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I wish that I could have said, well, Mom, I got ADD. Or ADHD, or whatever it is. Because, man, I guarantee you, the way I was growing up, I qualified for one of those stamps. Then it wouldn't have been my fault. Amen. It wouldn't be my fault because I got something wrong with me. I had something wrong with me, all right, but it wasn't Ritalin that took care of it. Amen. It was a good old-fashioned whipping. I tell you, they work. Amen. If done right in love. Amen. I remember because boys like to give their moms a hard time because mom's spankings don't hurt. They just don't, man. You know, whacking her hands. And you're like, is that it? Except Mom did have this one wooden paddle. When I really made her mad, she went after that. Then I knew I was in trouble. But what I would do is, I was out of the three boys, I was probably the honoriest one and got the most whippings. And like I said, I deserved. My mom says Daryl wouldn't have got near as many spankings growing up if I didn't put him up to everything. You know, and you push it and you push it and push it. And finally she goes, Greg, that's it. I'm telling your father when he gets home. That was uh-oh. And that's when I started begging, no, Mom, please. I won't do it anymore, I promise. And then 5 minutes later, I was back doing it again, but it was over then. Dad's coming home, it was on. And when he gave his word, you was getting a spanking. It wasn't telling you 50 times and then you might get one. Brother, he told you it was coming. Amen. And I'd get there and she'd tell him, boy, supper was long. And then tell you, Greg, go to your room. I'll be in a minute. That is the longest minute in my life. Because you know it's coming after that, praise God. I'm talking about healthy biblical relationships, praise God. These things will work, amen. And I was sitting in there just waiting. Because I've known it was coming, boy. That belt's coming off and you're getting across that bed. Thank God he didn't leave. I mean, I've heard of dads that send their kid out there to get a switch. I mean, I'm glad he used a belt, not a switch. Them things are really bad. But then preach to you while you're getting your whipping, right? Boy, what's wrong with you? I told you, let him in your wham, I won't do it no more. You fake crying. Just get him to quit. Kick your feet. Do something. The Bible said no chastening is joyous when you go through it. But afterward, it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in those that are exercised thereby, praise God. Amen. We need to bring some of these things back into the families, praise God, and bring some old-fashioned discipline. Amen. It'll cause your kids to have some respect for their elders. Amen. When I grew up, praise God, every kid respected their elder, or else. You never disrespected an elder, whatever position they had, and they said something to you, you didn't come back, well, I'm calling my lawyer. They'd say, good luck with that one. We've taught our kids to disrespect our elders. You got parents that are dishonorable towards people of authority when their children's concerned. Ask some of these bus drivers and school teachers around here. That the parent will call up and whine about the bus driver because they ain't letting the kids sit here. Then you know what? Then parent, you go take the turkey to school. He don't know how to act. Amen. That's the way it was when I was being raised up. If I started something at school or in trouble, I guarantee dad didn't take up for me. He took up for the person in authority and straightened me out. Amen. We need to get back to these things, praise God. It'll make for a whole lot healthier environment and a healthier families, praise God. Amen. We need to teach our children right from wrong, praise God, from God's standpoint. Amen. From God's standpoint. Let me share a few little things. These are things that are just, they're just natural life, but at the same time, I tell you, our kids these days lack life skills so bad it's not funny. And the reason is because the parents aren't teaching them to them anymore. If you got kids that's 15, 16, 17 years old and then all they know how to do is play video games, you have messed up somewhere. Amen. They need some life skills to go along with that. And it ought to be learned from the moms and dads, praise God. It ought to be things that are put into them, practical things that people can do to survive on earth. Isn't it amazing how quick you can shut things down, just cut the electric off and put 30 inches of snow out there and everybody's done and nobody can move? We ought to have more life skills than that, amen? We ought to be able to survive and to thrive in those things. Because I guarantee you, during the tribulation, there's going to be a whole lot of that. No electric and no a whole lot of other things. And people are going to just run to whoever will help them out. And I guarantee the Antichrist will be sitting up there with the 666 ready to come and be everybody's savior. Amen. We need to teach our kids life skills, praise God. Amen. Mothers, and doesn't hurt the sons either, teach the children how to do laundry. Isn't that a novel thought? Amen. How to cook, how to sow. Amen. Fathers need to teach their kids how to cut grass and shovel snow and do all those are good values and things instilled in the heart of a child. Amen. They teach them what the Bible says, praise God. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Amen. You learn respect, you learn honor, you learn work, you learn family, praise God. Amen. And then these things, when I was growing up, it's just the way it was. It was just because our foundation was in God's Word. Amen. I remember we were three sons in our family, and looking back, I recognize it 10-2, but looking back and looking at the first thing I'm talking about when we lived in Virginia when I was about 11, 12, 13 years old, somewhere in there, the families around us, I could tell that they had, for the most part, more money than we did, or at least they spent more. And so, you know, we had our job. There was a yard, and it was me, Daryl, and my older brother, Mark. And, you know, there was a front yard and the backyard. And so the backyard was divided into two. One brother got the front, the other one got the half of the back, and the other one got the other half of the back. And I look at my neighbors, and they go out there and fire their lawnmower up. And I look at my lawnmower. You know what I had? One of those ones, yeah, you push with the wheel that goes and cut. cutting your lawn, and it never cut the tough weed. Man, you go across, and that boink, that thing right back up there. Then your dad come out and investigate when you're done. You miss that. You know, those were, to me back then, that was just something everybody went through. But, you know, everybody doesn't go through that anymore. And there's a lot of life skills that are learned during that, praise God, that'll help you in life and that'll keep you strong and keep your morals right and your values right. Amen. So we have to get back and preach some of these things, praise God. You know, when I was growing up learning that, and then when I turned 15, and Dad got out of the army, and this was his home, so we moved back, and then you know, and so Dad went into business. My uncle already had the sawmill business, but he bought into that and went into that. So I went to work at the sawmill about when I was about 15 years old. I was there working at the sawmill. You know, when I was 16 years old, I could run a backhoe, use a cutting torch, use a welder. Praise God. But when I went there, I learned everything, and they taught me. I didn't realize it then, but they were teaching me life skills, survival, praise God, and how to do things and work with my hands and how to make a living, not just sit home and play with the computer. Amen. Learn how to do things, praise God. One of the best things I ever did was go to work with Vito for a little bit and learn how to plumb, learn how to drywall, learn how to frame, learn how to do a little bit of electric, praise God. Now when something goes wrong at the house, I don't just freeze and not know what to do. Amen. And not only that, it's a great resume enhancer for pastoring. Any pastor that puts finished drywall and make the church lawn look good gets hired, praise God. I'm just messing. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, the more you know how to do, the more valuable you are out in the world, and the quicker you can get a job, praise God. And the parents ought to teach our children that. And I'm just talking about my area that I lived in. I mean, there's a lot now with all the technology age, and you got people that are here that are computer savvy and all that. Teach that stuff, man. Teach it to your kids. I told my son, and I taught him what I know. I told my son, when you get a job, do the best you can do. Learn everything you can learn at that job while you're there, and if they ever lay off, you'll be the last one that they lay off. And if you do get laid off, you'll have skills to take with you to the next place. Not just do as little as you can to get by with it. Amen. Learn everything you can while you're there, praise God, because you never know down the road how God might use that and be a door where He'll take care of you, or you can minister to others. Amen. Find some. My Bible says that the way we're to teach our children in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is that when we walk in the way with them, when we talk, when we're around, teach them, praise God. Amen. Both my daughters could shoot a 30-06 when they were 14 years old and kill a deer. Amen. And did. I'd sit down there with them in the woods, and we'd be around this great big old oak tree, and all these acorns are falling, and I picked an acorn up, and I'm leaning on the tree, and Holly's leaning on the tree. I said, "See this tree behind us? This is what it used to be." She said, "Nuh-uh." I said, "Yuh-huh." And then you got to prove it to them because they won't believe you. So we gathered a bunch of acorns up, went home, got our little gallon planters out, and stuck all the little acorns in there and watered them. And here come the little oak tree. And I said, "See, yuh-huh." But these are little things, but you're teaching things to them. Amen. I didn't even do this on purpose, but me and my daughter, when I was pastoring up in Western Maryland, we got fish, guppies, and guppies breed like guppies, and man, you got more fish than you can shake a stick at after, you know, about a month. So next thing I know, we kept getting more aquariums and more guppies, and we got this kind and that kind, and next thing you know, in our basement, we got like 30 aquariums, fish everywhere. They're spitting out babies, and I'm separating them, and we're doing this together, praise God. Then we haul them down to the pet store and sell them and tell them, "Hey, you want to buy something?" He goes, "What do you want for them?" I said, 50 cents a piece. He said, all right, I'll take all you can bring me, praise God. So we had this little business going there, praise God. I didn't realize, I was just having fun then, but I didn't realize I was teaching her something. She was learning something, praise God. She was learning about just, you know, running a little fish business. And I didn't realize, I didn't even think about it later, but you know, she took that same thing, and she's in the ministry now, and she took that same thing and applied it to bulldogs. And she's making all kinds of money on bulldogs. But I'm making a point. She's in the ministry right now. They're in Frostburg. They got snow like we got. I said, I talked to her yesterday. I said, you guys ready for church tomorrow? Yep. I said, is the parking lot clear? She said, yep, boys are down there shoveling now. Amen. And in the church isn't that big yet, but it's growing, but they still got to, you know, help support their finances on their own and stuff like that. But you know, this little fish business I taught her just playing around, that she applies the dog business now, and he's working too, is helping to take care of their lives, and they're not just having to walk around with their hand out, praise God. But somewhere along the line, some truth has been implied into their hearts and their lives, and they know how to survive. Amen. These, like I said, these things are basic things, but we need to keep them, and they need to keep them alive and keep them back in the lives of our families these days. The Bible said, and I'll close with this, the Bible said in Psalm 15:4, let your yes be yes and your no, no. It says, swear to your own hurt and change not. Swear to your own hurt and change not means once you give your word, your yes is yes and your no is no. It doesn't matter if it costs you something, you keep your word. Amen. And I'll tell you, that's something else we need to impart into our children and keep ourselves. I tell you, that man right back there, Roger George, my father, when he told you he's going to do something, he did it. Even before he got saved. After he got saved, it was that much stronger. If he told you he's going to be somewhere at 10 o'clock, he was there to 5 till 10. Not something, he didn't call you up quarter after saying, he was there. Amen. His word was so strong. I remember one time, I was just a kid, but that's why last night when we had our Valentine's banquet, I said, you know, if you're single, you can still come. Because I think you learn a lot by just being around other people. Singles can learn a lot just by being around other married couples and just by being around and observing what's going on. Amen. It used to be the kids used to hang out at family thing and observe what was going on. You learn just by being in the surrounding. Amen. Praise God. And I'll never forget one time, it was right before Dad got saved, and both of us smoked. And I was probably 15. I remember when I was 15, he said, if you're going to smoke, you might as well do it in front of me, boy. No sense of hiding it anymore. And we came up with this bright idea that we were both going to quit. We gave each other our word, you know, we're going to quit smoking. Well, me, I get a little pressure on me, I fold up. And so I was sneaking around smoking my cigarettes. And poor Dad was going crazy not smoking his. I'll never forget, my mom came to me and said, is it all right if you break that agreement? Your father's, you know, he's got under a lot of pressure. And I thought, I felt about that big, man. I broke that thing a couple days ago. But his word that he gave me was his bond, man, and he would not break it. I want you to know that impacted me. Amen. And show me the strength of somebody's word, praise God. And that's powerful, and that'll take you a long ways in life, praise God. When you as a mother and your father look at your child and give them your word, and they know your word is strong as iron, man, and you won't break it. You know, that's the way Jesus is, praise God. I realize these things I share with you are just very practical things, but they're things we need to get back to. They are biblical truths in God's word, praise God. They are little things that we do that raise up children that are healthy and strong and know the value of things. Amen. And then can in turn raise a family on their own, praise God, and pass this Christian faith down from generation to generation. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our head with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning that your word says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. That whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Lord, if we sow to the flesh, we can guarantee the corruption's coming. But if we sow to the Spirit, there's another guarantee. We will reap life everlasting. So, Father, I want to encourage parents today, encourage myself, to continue to sow in the Spirit in the lives of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. Father, because it will not return void and it will not be in vain. Father, the things that were instilled in us as young men and women, that was our God, that was our source, that was our foundation, that kept us strong. Father, may we continue to apply these truths into the lives of our children. Father, the Bible says in the last days, children will be disobedient to their parents. And there's a whole list. And the reason is, Lord, because the parents stopped being parents. So, Father God, I pray for parents today that you give us the strength, the courage, the boldness to love our children, but yet at the same time have fun with them, but at the same time bring discipline, bring direction, bring honor, bring wise counsel, even when they don't like it, Father, because it's helped shaping them, hallelujah, to be that young man or woman of God. With all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed and all of us praying this morning, if you're here today and you've never been born again of the Spirit of Almighty God, if you've never given your life to Jesus, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You say, Pastor Greg, I'm a father, I'm a mother, and I really don't know how to parent my children. First thing is to have a relationship with Jesus, to allow him to lead you and guide you in your life. So if you're here today and you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. With all of us praying, if you're here, you say, Pastor Greg, I need Jesus. I feel God tugging on my heart, and I want to ask Jesus into my heart this morning. That you here today, if you raise your hand where you're at, I want to pray with you that Jesus Christ will come into your heart, be your Lord, your God, your Savior. Is there one here today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, again today, we just thank you for this beautiful day. As we go our separate ways, Lord, continue to strengthen and give us healthy, biblical relationships, Lord God. Bring us back again Wednesday. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.